if she were a human. There are two little girls who need our help. We have to take him back. I can't leave him out here. I love him, Shiloh. I can't lose him. Not again. She was still darting around, kicking her hind legs. I began begging. Please, Shiloh, I need your help. I will give you a whole bag of apples after this, but we need to find the babies. Two little girls. They're the same age I was when your mother helped me. I didn't know what did the trick. If it was my pleading, if she somehow magically understood me, or if she felt the desperation in me. For all I knew, it was the promise of treats. But in the next second, she swung around and bolted to the house. I almost fell off from the abrupt change in her, but I grabbed her neck and held tight. Brody was plastered to my back, and I think maybe she realized the only way to get him off was to deliver him to the place he always went. She tore through the woods at a breakneck speed. She wasn't smooth. She almost hit a few trees. She jumped a few times when I didn't think she should have. She could have gone down, broken an ankle, but she kept going with sheer will. Her face was sideways at times, her body too. She was neighing and whinnying and sounding terrified as we lumbered to an awkward stop a few inches from the fence line. Brody and I both lifted our legs so they weren't crushed, and I shoved Brody off. He jumped to the fence at the end of the field, and she jerked aside. She was too crazed. I was running my hand down her neck, but she was beyond listening to me. She reared up, and I let go. I fell to the ground hard and heard Brody shout, but I rolled with it and went cleanly under the fence. I stood as Shiloh tore back through the woods. I sighed. She's pissed at me. I saw people running down from the house, but I didn't want to waste more time. I thrust a hand at Brody. Give me your pack.
What?
I nodded at his sweatshirt tied around his waist. That too. The girls will need warmth when I find them. He didn't move, so I unclipped his pack from around his shoulders. It fell into my hands and I started rifling through it. I had all the essentials, even a lightweight tent and blanket. I nodded my approval. This is good. Really good.
What are you doing?
His voice rose. He gestured in the direction Shiloh tore off in.
She just took off. You have no fast way to find the girls.
The people were closing in. They were through the first fence and would be down the field to us in no time. Finn, Abby, Gale, and another woman I didn't recognize. I climbed back over the fence before securing his pack on my back. What are your niece's names?
What?
He cursed and then rubbed a hand over his face.
You aren't joking, are you?
I have to go, now. I can't wait and answer their questions. I only have so long before dark falls. Their names, Brody. I need to know what to call them.
Ambria and Alisma.
I nodded and moved to step away, but he reached for me.
Wait. They both have blonde hair. Ambria's is almost white, if that helps.
It did. Any little bit did. What are they like? Brody!
Morgan!
They were almost to us. What are they like, Brody? I raised my voice. He looked back at the impending arrival and then snapped back to me.
Unicorns and mermaids. They used to like princesses, but I don't know if they still do.
Unicorns. Mermaids. I could work with that. I have to go.
Morgan!
I ignored Finn and started running away.
Morgan!
I kept going, and once I was through the first line of trees, I started calling, but I changed my whistle. I kept going. I kept calling, and after I walked a mile, I felt the steps before I saw her coming. She was walking toward me, among the trees with her dark eyes and her ethereal white coat. She wasn't fearful or frantic. She was calm. She was steady. She was coming because I needed her to help me save two little girls the same way she once saved me. Shoal had come. Chapter 54. Morgan. I made my decision. As I rode Shoal and she picked her way over the land, I knew this was the first of my last rides with this mare. It was nearing her time when she would go. I knew Shiloh was extra touchy, because she would have a foal next summer. It was time. I felt it in my bones, and when he came back and I saw him again, I knew it was my time too. This had come full circle. I was the little girl who ran into the woods so long ago. I was the one they sent a search party to find. Shoal was the one who took me away then, and it was right that she was the one to go with me to find the girls. I didn't know if they would be alive when or if I found them, but I felt they would be. I glanced down at Shoal and corrected myself. When she found them. I was trusting her. If she picked up a new scent, she would alert me. But until that time happened, I was near tears. I loved this mare. She was my mother in ways, and most of the time I felt as if my mom was a part of Shoal. Shoal always cared for me. She always watched over me, and after she had Shiloh, she guarded me from a distance. She was content to let Shiloh be my sister. And just like any other sister, Shiloh would forgive me for forcing Brody onto her. It wouldn't change what I felt coming, though. Change. As soon as he stood on that walking path, I knew I would be leaving with him. She began resisting me then. After all this was done, I would go and find Shiloh. I would make sure things were okay between us. I needed her, and even if my return trips back to her took longer, I would still need to come. Shiloh was as much of me as Shoal was, as Brody had become. There was a part of me that would remain wild. But there was a part of me that remembered I was also human. And that was what Brody unleashed before he left. I didn't understand it. I would never understand why it was Brody who brought me back to life any more than I would understand the connection between us. It didn't make it any less real, and I could no longer live without it. I wanted to tell him about these changes and the decisions I had made. I knew there was a chance he had already moved on. He may have. Millions desired him. But I had plans. I kept thinking about them as Shoal and I searched. Then, I didn't know how much later, her ears perked up and she paused. I looked up. There was a small hill toward the farthest corner in the south. I knew what was beyond it. It was the end of a creek that had wound its way around the mountain, the mouth of the creek that opened into a larger river flowing toward the south. The current was strong, and if a kid played in the water, there was a good chance they would be swept up. If they were indeed up there, the only saving grace would be the logs that sometimes clogged the creek ahead. If someone were to get swept up and wasn't able to break free, they had a good chance of grabbing onto some of the logs and pulling themselves to safety. It would leave them wet and chilled to the bone, but alive. If this was the route the girls had taken, they were probably chilled to death. I listened and heard nothing but the trickle of the water. Still, I urged Shoal ahead and we crested the hill. And there, like I thought, were his two nieces. And they were alive, just like I had been too. Epilogue. I was waiting in Brody's bed for him. I knew he needed to be at the main house for a bit, to hug his nieces, to talk to his sister-in-law, or whatever else he needed. But I was waiting for him. And that was when I told him my decision.
Are you sure?
He could only stare at me. I was kneeling on his bed, the sheets pulled back already, and I nodded. My heart was in my throat as I nodded. Yes, I rasped out. I've lived most of my life with Shiloh and Shoal. It's time I formed my own family. And if that's just you and me, I'm ready. I didn't tell him about how I felt like dying when he left, or how I sat and watched his car take him away, weeping the whole time. I hadn't just cried for him, though. I had cried for losing my mother. I had cried for never having a father. I had cried for the loss of my siblings when my mother died. I had cried because I had kept Finn, Abby, and Matthew away. I had cried for closing myself up. I had cried for turning my humanity off. When Brody had left that night, I had already been starting to change. I just hadn't changed enough or quick enough to go with him. And I waited because I wanted to know if everything would go back to normal, if I would be content again with Shiloh and Shoal. But it never went back to the way it used to be. I think both mares knew I was changing. It was in how they looked at me. They would watch me, waiting for me to leave and not come back. Bringing those girls back was like I was bringing myself back. I was returning to a life that was interrupted when I was 10 years old. I was returning to make my mother proud of me. I was returning to someday have my own little girl. And that time had come. It was 4 weeks later. Finn and Jen married. Peter was convicted. Matthew took over the Kellerman Company. The day before I was supposed to fly to Iceland with Brody, I spent from sunrise to sunset with the herd. Both Shiloh and Shoal were glued to me. I barely got off Shiloh the whole day. When it was time to go back to the house and to Brody's arms, I got off Shiloh and walked to Shoal. She was watching me with those big, dark eyes, and as I stepped toward her, she lowered her head. My forehead rested against hers, and I held her face. We stood there a long time, both knowing we wouldn't see each other again. I would be gone when she would pass, so it was a forever goodbye. I wept that night like I had when Brody left. I hadn't been able to stop crying, even after Shoal stepped back and Shiloh moved into her place. I reached blindly above and lifted myself up to her back, and I couldn't stop crying in order to see if Shiloh was even taking me the right way. But I knew she was. She always carried me the right way. Brody was waiting for me when I slid off my sister. He waited as I threw my arms around her, and then pressed my forehead against hers, saying goodbye. When Shiloh stepped away like Shoal had, Brody stepped forward and swept me up in his arms. He carried me to bed that night, and my heart ached. I was starting a brand new life. "Look," he said the next morning when we were in the car that would take us to the airport. We were going down our driveway. Gail was with us, and I heard her gasp before I looked. The herd was in the woods, running beside us. Brody opened the window for me, and I leaned across his lap and half out the window so they could see me. Shoal stayed among the herd, but Shiloh veered off so she was the closest to us, but she remained running. We got to the gate and went through, but as we turned left onto the road, the herd went right toward the mountains. They fanned out over a clearing, and I watched until I could no longer see them. Brody squeezed my hand and leaned over to brush a tear away.
"Do you regret coming?"
I ached for them, but there was no regret in my body. I loved him. I chose him. I shook my head, because he was my new chapter.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Bad Boy Brody, written by T. Jen, performed by Sebastian York and Brooke Bloomingdale. Executive producers Rena Ayer and Mike Charzik. Producer Chelsea Pita. Copyright 2018 by T. Jen. Sound recording copyright 2018 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.